Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. And we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua. And there are 15 verses in this chapter. And I've got some commentary. Right now, let's ask the Lord to pour out His Spirit. Anoint this service. Anoint the Word. Anoint the commentary. To open up, Father, we ask that you open up the spiritual ears. The last book in the Bible tells us, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says unto the churches. And how many churches are there in the body of Christ? There are many mansions or churches or people that the Lord lives in. But in the book of Revelation, you have us all in seven categories. Categories of people that are doing or not doing your will. And the spirit of your spirit, Lord, is beseeching people to open up their spiritual ears and to renew a covenant with you on a daily basis. As so many times I see people, Father, that one day they're hot, the next day they're cold, and they don't renew or reestablish the covenant that they've made with you and that you on a daily basis, and therefore they're not walking in the Spirit. You see people, and I see people, Lord, that are non-productive. They are self-centered and think only of themselves. They're not at all concerned of front runners or those that you have or have established as leaders in the world. And Lord, we pray that their spiritual ears would be open this morning, that their spiritual man inside their casket of clay that's soon going to perish, and their spirit will be facing you at the judgment bar of God. Lord, I pray that you open up their spiritual ears and let so that they can hear what the Spirit is saying unto them, and cause them to realize how important it is to covenant, reestablish the covenant with you on a daily basis, one day at a time. For those who walk not after the flesh, but only in the Spirit, there'll be no condemnation on when their spirit leaves this earthly body. Lord, make this a special tape, a tape that their spirit will never forget. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go.
Joshua chapter 5. Israel reestablishes their covenant ceremonies with the Lord.
They reestablish their covenant ceremonies. Back in the Old Testament, a lot of things were ceremonial. In the New Testament, these ceremonies were all symbolic of that which we're supposed to do spiritually all day long, to keep reestablishing ourselves, reaffirming in our souls, in remembrance, constantly meditating in the fact that we are sons of God. When people forget that they're a son of God, then there's no life in them whatsoever. They're not that concerned what they do, and they prefer themselves rather than others. And they break the second commandment. And they also break the first commandment, because you have stated in the first commandment that we're to love you, your word, with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we don't obey your word to do that, then we break the second commandment, to prefer others before ourselves, and to treat others as though we would like to be treated ourselves. and to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. So they break the first and second commandment. And you stated, Jesus, that all Moses and the prophets, the entire law, hangs on those two first commandments. The first and the second, to love the Lord our God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to prefer others before ourselves, and to do good unto people, to seek out what we can do, especially those of the household of faith, especially those of us who, Lord, are being, that Satan is laying traps for all day and all night, and is doing everything that he can to throw stumbling blocks and blockades in the path of your front runners, the ones that are on the front lines, the ones that are spearhead, that you're using to spearhead your entire work here on earth. Lord, we ask that you teach us these things in this chapter in Jesus' name. And again we say amen.
Okay. King James Version, verse 1. King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel.
And people who are God conscious, they're conscious that God used them to do this incredible work, to cause a bunch of heathen to have tremendous fear, to where they didn't have heart any longer. Now this is like, should in people's minds and in their spirits, their spiritual ears and mind, should cause us to praise and thank the Lord for the power that God gives us, to where when we go about on earth doing the Lord's will, that the people know it and they back off from the things that they want to do to us. The Lord says that when a person's ways please the Lord, that even their enemies are at peace with them. So they back off. There isn't anything that they can do. Their hearts melt, and they're filled with the fear of the Lord, because they see God moving in your camp. Okay, next verse.
Verse 2. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time.
Okay, the second time. The people that had all died in the wilderness had all been circumcised, and yet the young ones had not. And there's another sin, because they had not taught their children, their men children, or the women, to obey the Lord, to establish the covenant within their flesh. But in the New Testament, all of us, men, women alike, are to be circumcised in the heart. This means that their spirits inside their bodies, human bodies, are to be pierced through with the Spirit of God, to the point that there's so much power within their spirit that there isn't any outside influence that can change their course of direction in this world. No temptation can come their way that will influence the Spirit of God that dwells within them. It's impossible for God to be tempted. So if our spirits are filled to the to the top with the Spirit of God, no influence in this world can pull us away from the Lord. And that's so important, because when we get in automobiles during the day, there's no telling if one of them is going to crash into us and cause our bodies to be broken, to be dead. And then our spirits are before the Lord, and there's no other chance to come back and redo what we haven't done, to undo the wickedness that we've done by not listening to the Lord, and to do our own thing, to do our own will. The will of those that are the sons of God is to do the will of the Father. If you're a son of God, and this goes for the females as well, because when we come unto the Lord, we become sons of God. There's no male or female in the body of Christ. And so our spirits are always to be ready to meet the Lord. In season, when we know we're going to go out to meet the Lord, and out of season, when we're just traveling down the highway, or we're going to sleep at night and there's a possibility that the breath goes out of our body. This is what it means to be instant, in season, instantly ready to meet the Lord, no matter what part of the day it is. Because some people think because they're young that they're preteens, they're in their preteen stage of life, or they're in their teenagers, or whatever age, they just feel that, listen, they're not ready to go. But the Lord says to be ready to go in and out of season, because only God knows when you're going to go, unless you're a suicidal person, and in which event Yisrael would be in the pit of hell immediately, and then in the lake of fire. So if Satan's been badgering you about taking your own life, like he has so many other people in these last days, if I were you, I'd reconsider that, and I would rebuke that evil spirit that is trying to enter into the area where the Lord is supposed to predominate, and I would rebuke him in the blood of Jesus and tell him to take a hike somewhere else, as Jesus told Satan to do, and when Satan was telling Jesus to commit suicide. If you remember that he said, you know, to cast yourself down, and because the angels of God would take him up, that he wouldn't splatter when he hits the rocks below. Well, the Lord says that you're not to tempt the Lord thy God. He instantly was able, because of the powerful spirit in him, the spirit of the Father, his own spirit, and the Holy Spirit was in him, that he was able to swiftly wield the double-edged sword of the Lord and come back at him right in his teeth and let him have it. And if you're not as the Lord, then you're not one of his sons or daughters. So it's good to remember this always as we're walking through the day, walking through our life that we're living through this day, walking through our life in this day that shall never reoccur again. Whoever's listening to this tape, if you live the rest out the rest of this day, you've lived in one day that you're never going to live again. And the Lord is chalking down everything that you do this day. He's aware of every breath you take, because he's the one that's giving you every breath. Every breath you have, every beat of your heart is from the Lord. And he wants you to covenant that breath and that heartbeat and your steps and the things that you do with your hands every day of your life, one day at a time. And this is why this is what the Lord has put in my heart today. And these are the words that I receive from hearing these scriptures. This is This is the message from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is all scriptural. Then what?
Verse 3. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. Verse 4. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were male, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Verse 5. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised.
Right. What about if you're a parent, what about your children? Are they aware of the things that they're supposed to do, that their spirit is to be circumcised? That the Spirit of God needs to be living in them in order for them to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven in the event that they go out to meet the Lord today, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, or in the night? Are they aware of that? And if they are, I'm sure if you brought it home to them, if you convinced the gainsayer, if you convinced them of these truths, then I'm sure that they would get down on their knees, or if they're sitting on a couch or on a chair, or if they're in a vehicle or whatever, they would start saying the prayer and do everything they could in their power to receive the circumcision of the heart, that they'd want God to be living in them, because if the Spirit of God is living in them as it was in the body, human body of Jesus, then on the last day, the Lord will raise them from the dead as he did Jesus as well. Now our spirits have to be raised from the dead before our body dies. Otherwise, when we die, there's no possibility for our spirit to raise up and enter into the kingdom of heaven. All that will happen will be is because you're not instant in season. You weren't ready to meet the Lord no matter when he comes. And the Lord says he's coming as a thief in the night when you least expect it. I mean, there's a lot of people that take a shower, brush their teeth, comb their hair, put on their fresh set of clothes in the morning, and they get in their cars and they start down the freeway. I've seen it many times in my life in Cleveland, Ohio. Our babysitter, his husband, got all set and to go to work, and he went down the freeway in Cleveland, and there was a call that came in and that horrified our babysitter. She was a lady, and her husband somehow hit the guardrail out on the freeway, and he was stone cold dead. And she cried and wept, and she got so bitter at God. But there would be no reason for her to be bitter at God if she knew that her husband was saved and that he was ready to meet the Lord no matter what time of what hour, what minute, what moment, what second of the day, night or afternoon or whenever it would be that he would go out to meet the Lord. Say, well, praise the Lord. The one consolation that I have is that my husband was saved, and I know that he's in a far better place than we are right now. And I just praise and thank the Lord that I had the Word of God to remind me, to make me aware that we're to be in season, instant in season, to meet God, ready to meet him at any given time of the day. But you can be in Los Angeles or any town of, even in the sticks, out in the sticks someplace, or so you can see the people when we go through Las Vegas or in California or in Los Angeles, any place in California, there's just so many earthly events that are going on and so many distractions that people forget this. This becomes like not just secondary or third or fourth in their life or fifth, but it doesn't even enter their minds during the day, and this is the most important thing. And some people, they have children, and sometimes the Lord will, if it's a baby or a young child that hasn't reached the age of accountability, sometimes God will take one of those children out as a wake-up call to you, for you to get your soul right with the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will make them so deathly ill, or they'll get in an accident and they'll almost die, or they could have died, but they didn't. As a wake-up call to you to, hey, focus on being instant in and out of season. Be focused on getting your children ready to meet their God, because God created us all and for one purpose. And that isn't to go to casinos or to shows or to for business or anything like that. It's to keep our minds concentrated both day and night on the Lord, to be meditating in His Word. It's not for food or clothing or entertainment or sports or any of the things that people have their mind on today, or gambling or any of these things. It's to keep our minds on the Lord. And if we're living in areas where there is seemingly great temptation to some people, I thank God that when I was saved, I'd already been through the casinos, and I knew that there was nothing in there. I've seen a lot of people that have been in casinos that gambled all their money away, and then they even gambled their house and their automobile away, and they wound up being bartenders or people that work at the tables in Las Vegas. And they're stone broke, and they never get enough money to really even get out of town. They're making about, and they see their wives and children leave them because they can't support them anymore, and they realize how foolish their husband was. Probably see some wife that gets the gambling demon in them, and they go and squander everything, and she becomes a prostitute. And everything is downhill for these people. And, you know, we're sitting right now in the last days. And everything is, it's all over. It's a wrap-up scene. And, of course, Satan is throwing in the kitchen sink for temptation in these last hours, doing everything in his power to make everything seem glamorous, when it isn't really glamorous at all. You come to your senses. I'm so glad that I went through all these things so that it wouldn't make any difference if I was in a casino or if I was going by all the lights in the big city. They have no effect on me whatsoever, because I've seen too many people that these things did have an effect on, and they went out to meet their God. And I've seen them laying dead in a casket and saying, how foolish all the wasted years that you lived. And there you've gone out to meet the Lord. And then now what? You can't come back anymore. I remember when I was in prison for the gospel, I sent letters to people that I thought were my friends, because like Sonny Bono, who was a congressman or senator, I can't even remember, doesn't make any difference to me, and say, is there anything that you can do? I've been railroaded into prison here. And also Fred Dalton Thompson, a man that came to me for advice, who is also a senator or congressman, and Mary Bono, who I also sent letters to, saying, look, is there anything that you can do? And he says, I'm sorry, Tony, we can't help you, or else they didn't. Fred Dalton Thompson, I don't even think he answered back. And so when Sonny Bono ran into a tree when he was skiing, I swear before the Lord that I heard Sonny's voice saying, Tony, help me. I'm going to hell. And I said, if anybody been in the room, they might have thought I was crazy or something, but I just spoke to him. I said, Sonny, I mean, you're dead. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There isn't anything. I came right back at him without even realizing it until after I said, I can't help you. You, when it comes to your soul, you have to help yourself. It has to be your will to do the will of the Father. to you, you thought being a senator and having a place in Palm Springs as mayor and then the senator and then being in show business and all these things was the most important thing in the world. And now you're gone. And there isn't anything I could do, Sonny. I told you the gospel while you were alive. It's then that you should have received everything that I was saying. It's then when you should have made a covenant with the Lord to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to keep His commandments and get ready to meet Him on a daily basis. We have to re-covenant ourselves with the Lord every day. And so what good? Now it's been several years now that Sonny's been dead, because I've been out of that prison where I also won many, many souls there. And I still, there's a testimony of my having been there. And it's been, I think he ran into that tree when I was in prison, didn't he? Yeah, that's been, and I've been out almost, what, close to 7 years? 6 years for sure.
Yeah.
Six and a half years, and have done a lot of things, not for the world, but for the Lord, since I've been out. And here Sonny is in a place that I can't do anything about it. I can't call him back from the dead, because he never served the Lord. Why would God want to raise somebody from the dead that has no intentions whatsoever to serve Him, to do His will? Why would God want to bless anybody like that? If you were God, would you want to bless somebody that wouldn't do what you're going to do? Absolutely not. And I wouldn't either. And God plainly tells us that He would never do it. As a matter of fact, He'll send people's souls to hell for not doing what He says. That's belligerence. And well, they console themselves by belonging to some religion. But religion is of the devil because it can't save your soul. That's why it's of the devil. Anything that can't save your soul, that can't circumcise your spirit, is not of the Lord. And if it's not of the Lord, the Bible tells us that it has to be of the devil. And if it's of the devil, what's the point of taking the time out to be religious? One thing was that before I was, when I was a sinner, I wasn't hypocritical at all. Everybody knew I was a sinner. I was the best sinner around. But when the Spirit of the Lord came down in the office in Beverly Hills and awakened my spirit and made it to where my spirit could hear the voice of the Lord and feel His power, it was like gentle but yet powerful. I couldn't stop my spirit from being influenced by the Lord. He was pulling my spirit out of me and pushing it back in just really fast, like blinking an eye. It was back and forth, in and out. And so it terrified me. And I can't ever forget the terror of what it is when a person is confronted with the Lord. Because I was a person that just couldn't believe that He was there. To me, it was a fairy tale. And I never thought of demons or people that were possessed with devil. I just thought that was all hogwash. But now I know it's true. And there just isn't anything that can swerve me away from the Lord. That if people are in a place, you're on this earth now, and you're in areas where it seems to be more sinful than others, to me, it's just as sinful if you're not in the spirit, if you're in an area of like Windham, Montana, or some small place like that, as it would be in a major city. We have a young man that was out in Las Vegas and was influenced by the music and the people walking around and laughing and joking. And that all that does is just brings to my mind, oh my God, these people are not ready to meet the Lord. They're not taking care of their soul, their spirit. They need to be circumcised. And what have I done wrong, Lord, that these people are still walking around unsaved? Isn't there something that you can do, a miracle or something, that will cause these people to want to be circumcised in the spirit, for your spirit to penetrate into their spirit so that they, you and they become one? And Lord, put the fear of God in these people in Las Vegas and in Los Angeles and New York and Cleveland and Chicago and Detroit and Hollywood, all over the world. Holland, where there's so much sin. Denmark, Sweden. All these people that they just are totally blind to the fact that you exist, Father. That you exist, Father. And that they need you in them through Christ Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Savior, that could save their souls and make them one with you. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, destroy the enemy and let not the temptations, these superficial plastic temptations, influence them in any at all. Lord God, in Jesus' name. And so be circumcised every day. Take the time out to pray. Take the time out to be sure that you're instant, that you could meet the Lord instantly at any time, at any given time of the day or night. Make sure that you're right with the Lord. There isn't anything more important. What's more important, that you get a new dress if you're a female, or a new set of suit of clothes, or that you get to go to a certain place to eat or to see some entertainment of some kind? Is that what excites you, or to get a something new, whether it be anything, or to go to a fair or a carnival, a circuit? Is this what eternal life is all about, or your life on this earth is all about? Why are you not excited about seeing someone saved? Why are you not excited about wanting to learn the scriptures so much that you are wielding such a powerful sword of God that you can influence people to become circumcised of heart, that you can preach the gospel to them to where the Spirit of God will enter them and make them 100% whole, 100% ready to meet their God? Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to the next verse.
Verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey.
Now see, if people were tempted out in the wilderness, now what in the wilderness could possibly tempt to anybody? Tumbleweeds? Cactus? I mean, does that tempt? Well, if it tempted them or whatever was out there to not serve the Lord, I'd just figure, man, I'm just a hunk of clay. I'm out here in the desert. There's nothing happening out here except, Lord, I can look up and see the pillar of fire leading us by night and this pillar of cloud by day. And my God, all I want to do is just be near you and do what you want me to do. And, well, we have memories, they were saying. We have memories of how nice it was when we used to sink our teeth into flesh and into onions, scallions, leeks, and garlics. Don't you remember those garlics? They were so good. Tasty. You know, this is what tempted them, their memories, okay? Isn't that something? Okay, so I realize by reading the scriptures like that, that people, when they go down the street and they see all kinds of restaurants, you know, and this one is bragging how good they cook, and this is French cuisine over here, and here's Cajun cuisine, and here's, you know, seafood platters, lobster, which the Lord tells us not to eat anyway, crabs, and all the other garbage of the sea. And, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to keep your mind focused on all these things. And, oh my, the fair is coming to town, or there's an entertainer that's coming to town, or there is one appearing where you're at, or there's a television program that's coming on. Even in the most remote places, they have television now and cable. And we're living in the hour of temptation, far more than tumbleweeds and cacti. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to be careful to walk in the Spirit. We have to be careful to be conscious of our relationship with the Lord and our disassociation from the world. Separate yourself, consecrate yourself, circumcise. Let the Lord circumcise your heart. Keep yourself clean, in a way, and keep yourself ready, okay? Don't be thinking, because anything you're thinking of in this world other than the Lord is tumbleweeds, cactus, cacti, all right? And it's going to burn up, okay? And you may not like my explanation of the way I say things, but I don't like your ignorance either, okay? I don't like your stubbornness any more than, and I believe God hates your stubbornness as much as I do. And I'm just the way he treats people after they're dead, it shows that he hates your stubbornness even more than I do, because I wouldn't send your soul to hell and into a burning pit of fire because you thumbed your nose at me. But see, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you. This was God's Son, only begotten Son. And if you are not concerned about human beings enough to get right with the Lord and to go out into the highways and hedges, first of all, learn the gospel so that you can influence people to be saved. And it shows that you're just caring about yourself. Then the Lord will burn those kind of people, you, if you're one of them, to a crisp, and you'll never stop burning to a crisp. You'll never stop being out of agony because you're so self-centered that you're evil. And when you are actually so self-centered that you actually fight the people of God that are on earth doing everything they can in their power to influence people to get down on their rotten, filthy knees and cry out to God to save their soul, and then afterwards to get themselves fed and grow in the milk of the Word of God, and then later the meat of the Word of God. If you are not that concerned about your own soul, then God says, you know, he's not concerned either, and he allows you. You send yourself to hell in the lake of fire because you're concerned about tumbleweeds and cacti. There's nothing on the face of this earth. It's all going to be chaff if it's not serving the Lord. And you yourself have chosen to be chaff, tumbleweed, cacti, goats rather than sheep. All right, next verse, please.
Verse 7. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way.
But, you know, there is no Joshua or anybody else on the face of this earth that's going to make you be circumcised any longer in the flesh, because that doesn't amount to anything anymore. The Lord wants the inward man circumcised, and he says for it, you. He didn't make us robots, but he made us free moral agents. He says you must choose to serve the Lord. There's a choice. You can choose to serve the Lord or yourself. You can choose to serve the Lord or somebody else on earth. And we are to serve one another in the gospel field, and we're to serve the gospel to people, but we're not to serve ourselves the world or to serve anyone else in this world, the world. We're on earth, and we are in the world. We're in this system, the world system. There's a difference between the world system and the earth. The earth is the Lord's, but he has nothing to do with this world system, the one world cult, government, or the media. or anything else in this world, the entertainment. We can have the food and the drink and so on. Lord, we can use the world that way, but we're not to eat and drink and to keep our natural body alive. That we must do. But to keep our spirit alive, that's a whole nother thing. And that's the most important thing. Because what would it profit a man if they gained the whole world, if they had the best body on the face of this earth, or the best looks, and there's nothing inside of them of the Lord? All right, then what?
Verse 8. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole.
Until they had recovered. Well, that's like once you get circumcised in the Spirit, you're to abide in the place where you were saved until the Spirit of the Lord grows up in you into the fullness, until you become whole, until your whole spirit becomes healed. You're not to be looking backward at Sodom, because this world is Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible is symbolic of the world as it is today. The world as it was in the day of Noah. There's nothing. What good was the way that they were living when they all drowned and their spirits all went to hell and the lake of fire? Reserved are the angels that fell away from heaven in chains, fearfully awaiting the time when everything is over. Now, if you're dead, your body is dead, it's no more than just a blink of the eye that you're in hell and in the pit of the lake of fire, or you're in the kingdom of heaven. Because the dead know nothing. When a person's spirit leaves their body, they either go to heaven or hell. That's scriptural. They will go into judgment, and then the Lord just puts them where they're going to be. All right, so here's some comments. Here's the translation.
Translation, verse 1 through 8. Israel reestablishes their covenant ceremonies with the Lord. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear. Verse 2. At that time the Lord told Joshua, quote, use knives of flint to make the Israelites a circumcised people again, unquote. Verse 3. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeath-Haraloth. Verse 4. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to bear arms when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Verse 5. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years in the wilderness had been circumcised. Verse 6. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to bear arms when they left Egypt had died.
Right. So they didn't care anything about their circumcising their children. So they were anti-God, anti-Christ. So what's the point of the Lord keeping them here on earth? They just cumber the earth. They just fill the earth with more of their kind. One of their, some more of their own kind. Rabid dogs. People that see God right in front of them every day of their lives. And like, so calloused that they don't even, it doesn't even put any fear in them to talk to their children. See, honey, look up there. That's God. That's the living God. And look here at the manna that the Lord is providing for us on the ground every morning except on the Sabbath, because he gives us a double portion the day before. And look at, honey, the water. Now, that rock over there, there's water gushing out of there. That's miraculous. And remember, when you were not alive, that the Lord opened up the Red Sea and we walked across. And that's what we're doing on the wilderness out here, is we're heading for the promised land, and we have to keep ourselves serving the Lord so that we can be there. We have to trust the Lord because he's right there. How calloused. Say, well, God is evil because he just killed them all. Well, they didn't even circumcise or to cause their children to make a covenant with the Lord. And now we have the whole Bible, the Old Testament, and then the rest of the Bible, which is people call the New Testament, which is the New Covenant, because it shows what the Lord promised in the Old Testament, and then it shows that he did what he said in what is the New Testament. But the Old and New Testament are one book. It's the Bible. And it's not really even a book. It's the Word of God. It's God. So we have to look at it. The Word of God is God. The Bible says that. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God is Jesus. And so he said, if you believe in Jesus, that means the whole Word of God, then you are saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in other words, and thou shalt be saved. He says, but if you believe, then do what I tell you. Now, if you say you love me and you keep not my commandments, if you don't do what I tell you, then you're a liar. And the truth is not, you're a liar and you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, because the truth, I'm the truth, I'm not in you. And so you can't raise from the dead and ascend up into heaven with me. You're going to spend eternity downward. Okay, then what?
For they have disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 7, so Joshua circumcised their sons who had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land, those who had grown up to take their father's places.
We have to take the initiative to circumcise ourselves. Ask the Lord to enter your heart, and with sincerity. We have to serve him with sincerity and zeal, or we can't be one with him. He will not live in an insincere person. He will not. He is a truthful and sincere God. Truthfulness and sincerity is the girdle of the armor of God that holds all of our armor together, holds it on so that we're able to survive until we enter heaven. And then after that, we've got it made. We have it made right now if we just do that. Okay? That's the only important thing. Well, if it weren't, then why does the Bible tell us the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments? We don't have to do anything else. Just fear God and do what he says. For this is the whole duty of God, of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. Do what he says. Then what?
Verse 8. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. King James Version, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day.
Right, because they made a covenant, all of them, to make this covenant, to seal this circumcision with the Lord. They said, remember this day, this hurts some, to keep the covenant with the Lord. Well, why? Because our flesh loves to do the will of the flesh. And they coveted it to do the will of the Lord. And that hurts, because you have to willingly turn away from the world to do the will of God. You cannot just drift along with the tumbleweeds, okay? The sons of the pioneers did that song. Just drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. You have to make it your will to be born of the Spirit, to fly with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and it hurts your flesh, but to hell with the flesh, because the flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says so. Flesh and blood cannot enter. So deny the flesh and live spiritually unto the Lord. Make it your will to be to do the will of the Father. You have to make yourself do the will of the Father. Then what?
Verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day.
Well, they didn't have to eat manna that came on the ground any longer, huh? Then what?
Verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more.
It didn't come down anymore because they were in the land of milk and honey. Everything that was good to eat was available then. Then what?
But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14. And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.
And who is the captain of the host of the Lord? It's the Lord himself. Amen. Then what else?
And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Translation, verse 9 through 15. Then the Lord said to Joshua, quote, Today I have rolled away the chain of your slavery in Egypt, unquote. So that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Verse 10. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month, the month that marked their exodus from Egypt. Verse 11. The very next day they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. Verse 12. No manna appeared that day, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. The Lord's commander confronts Joshua. Verse 13. As Joshua approached the city of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man facing him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, quote, Are you friend or foe? Unquote. Verse 14. Quote, Neither one, he replied. I am come commander of the Lord's army. Unquote. At this, Joshua fell down with his face to the ground in reverence. Quote, I am at your command. Unquote, Joshua said. Quote, What do you want your servant to do? Unquote. Verse 15. The commander of the Lord's army replied, quote, Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Unquote. And Joshua did as he was told.
All right, that was the 15th verse, the last verse of chapter 5, and now we've got some commentary.
5 verse 1. Quote, We had crossed, unquote. Use of the pronoun we brings supporting evidence to the viewpoint that Joshua was the author of the last part of the book of Deuteronomy. Quote, Their heart melted, unquote. God fulfilled his promise recorded in Exodus 23:27. Exodus 23:27. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee.
Yeah, with as many enemies as the people have in this world today, which is their flesh primarily, and of course, if we crucify the flesh by denying it and doing the will of the Lord, then the major enemy is defeated. That's our major enemy is our flesh, our will, to do our wills, our self. And if we defeat that, then Satan is nothing, because the Spirit of God in us will defeat every other enemy. But the Spirit of the Lord in us mortifies the body, the sinful body. Remember that all of us that are saved, we're still, even though the Spirit of the Lord is in us, he's still living in a body that once was a sinner. And we have to remember that. And we have to keep our body under subjection, as the Apostle Paul said. He said, the Greek translation says that he beats his body black and blue. In other words, he just denies everything that the flesh wants in order that he can keep it under subjection to the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord really helps all of our infirmities. It helps us with our quench or quell the desires of the flesh, or the desires of this world, and to avoid all the sinfulness and the temptations of Satan, which is really the flesh again. All right, and of course there is the spirit of Satan that will magnify the desires of the flesh, and has caused untold billions of people to spend eternity in hell. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and very few, and when the Lord says few, he really means it with a capital F-E-W, shall enter the kingdom of God. It's just the flesh is so overpowering, and people are so prone to do their own will that they're just not going to make it. And that is not meant to discourage anyone. It's meant for you to discourage you from being prone to do your own will and to be tempted or influenced by anything in the world or anything in your flesh. Then what?
5 verse 2 through 8. Circumcised. Circumcision began as a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and his seed, Genesis 17. Its practice, however, had been in suspension for 40 years, most likely as another sign of apathy and disobedience to the law. The cutting away of the foreskin of the male sex organ was to mark them as a people in covenant with God. This outward sign was meaningless, however, unless coupled with an inward severing of fleshly deeds or, quote, circumcision of the heart, unquote, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Quote, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live, unquote.
Yeah, circumcision of the heart of your body is your spirit. And that's where he wants, circumcises your heart, your spirit. And that's circumcised not with the hands of Joshua or any man, but it's your will that asks the Lord to enter into you and to stay in you on a daily basis. Constantly reaffirming the covenant, re-circumcising yourself every day, keeping yourself carrying the cross and following the Lord and denying thyself. He says, okay, now that you're saved, now deny thyself and take up the cross and follow me and go and sin no more. Not to enjoy life, this life on this side of eternity, but to enjoy the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Joyce Myers is trying to end also the T.D. Jakes are doing everything in their power for Satan to get you to enjoy the world. And the Lord says, love not the world. Okay, so you've got to, you know, put things, do what the Lord says instead of these people that know how to talk really well. But they're telling you to do everything on the opposite of what the Lord says to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
5 verse 9. Although it is not clear why uncircumcision was associated with the reproach of Egypt, what is clear is that their circumcision cut all ties they had to Egyptian slavery. And it's a commandment of the Lord, and so that's clear. Their bondage was completely removed. 5 verse 10. The people demonstrated their obedience and faith in God by celebrating the Passover, Exodus 12 verse 1 through 28. To remind them that the inheritance of the promised land would be by simple faith in the blood of the Lamb. 5 verse 12. Manna ceased. A manna miracle had been provided 6 days a week for 40 years. Upon entering the land, God's promise of provision would take on a new form. While God would still be their provider, they would learn the personal responsibility from working the land and eating from it. 5 verse 13 through 15. This private encounter with heaven preceded Joshua's public role at Jericho. He discovered that there is a commander mightier than he who stands ready to lead the nation in conquest. See introduction to Joshua. Christ revealed, quote, take your sandal off your foot, unquote. Like removing a hat, this was a sign of humility and respect. 5 verse 1 through 9. The Amorite kings were terrified of the power of the God of Israel, but they did not turn to him for help. The people of Israel, however, took steps to ensure that their relationship with God was as it should be. Because God commanded it, they circumcised all the males among them. As a result, God took away their shame when they submitted to the painful act of circumcision.
Right, because it was just symbolic of denying yourself, denying your own will, denying your own self and flesh, to turn away from all the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life in these last days, in the new covenant. Because they're in the promised land, and we have the evidence of doing right and wrong in the Old and New Testament now, what the consequences are for doing evil, and what the rewards are, the great rewards for doing good. God is with us, and God fights for us, and our souls are preserved and saved, and will live on forever in paradise and glory in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
Fortunately, we do not have to go through a physical cutting to be rid of our shame.
A cutting like that, but there is a physical cutting of the flesh, a turning away from all of the things of this world, of the things that are satanic in this world. We can have the things of the world that are not satanic, the things that we need, not everything that we want. A lot of times the Lord will give us what we want, especially when we need it. Okay, then what?
But we do have to go through the painful process of acknowledging our failures and allowing God to remove the shame from us. This process can sometimes be so painful that we're tempted to deny our shame rather than show God to remove it. 5 verse 13 through 15. Note two important considerations regarding the identity of the commander of the Lord's army. One, he accepted worship when Joshua bowed down to him. And two, the place where he stood was considered holy ground.
The Lord, if it wasn't the Lord, he would have never accepted worship. He would have said, stand up because I'm a man just like you, or I'm just an angel, you're not to worship anyone but the Lord. But he accepted the worship, so therefore it was the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
Compare Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. This commander, therefore, was much more than a man and more than an angel. This captain was none other than God himself. When Joshua recognized who the stranger was,
and it couldn't have been any other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only one that has an image. God is the Spirit, and you can't really see the Spirit. The only image that God has is Jesus. We can see Jesus, God the Son, and in him is God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So when we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at God. So this was God, but it was Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
When Joshua recognized who the stranger was, he quickly deferred all claims of leadership to him. If each of us acknowledge our powerlessness without God, and we relinquish control to God as Joshua did, we would avoid many of the self-inflicted wounds that hurt us. Fortunately, it is never too late to acknowledge God's lordship over us and allow him to lead us in life's battles.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 5, the book of Joshua. We've heard the 15 verses and also commentary. And I believe everyone understands that we are to deny our flesh, deny ourselves, take up the cross, as the Lord says in the New Testament, deny thyself, take up the cross, and follow me, and go and sin no more. That's self-denial, and that's circumcision. And it's impossible to do it apart from Jesus. You can't do any of these things apart from me, he says. If you're not in me, then I have nothing to do with you. And that's it. And it's good to just think about these things all the day, all the time, concentrate. It's very simple. Either you're with the Lord or you're not. Either you're concerned with what he says or you're not. And, if you're only hurting yourself, if you're not concerned about the Lord, and if you're not concerned about self-denial, if you're not concerned about cutting yourself, circumcising yourself every day. Oh, you mean every day? I thought it was just a one-time thing. No, we have to take it one day at a time. We have to go under the knife, the spiritual knife, every day. It's not a one-time thing. It's one time daily. Because all we're required to do is to do it one day at a time, but when the next day comes, for you to do that one day. Amen?
Yeah.
So it involves a new rededication to the Lord. Another day of self-denial, another day of the cross, another day of going and sinning no more, another day of self-denial to not be living for yourself, but for the Lord, to do his will. Meditate on that today and tonight until you go to sleep. And then in the morning, remember to start out that way again in Jesus' name. God bless you and praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo.